Okay. Okay, fine.
Wonderful. All right. So, welcome everyone. Ultimate Healing, part one, self-healing, webinar number two. So today, Peter will be focusing on modules three, four, and five. So discreation, nutrition, and manifestation. However, there's going to be a focus on dual creations. Oh, hang on.
I can't, there's a lot, yeah,
No,
there's
the
quite,
modules are dual
we'll get to
creation.
that. We'll get to that, don't worry.
Dual creations, nutrition, and manifestation. But there will be a focus on dual creations as well. So if you would like a hot seat, so Miriam, I think you do, but just confirm for me in the chat, if you would like a hot seat to go through anything that's to do with discreation, manifestation, anything like that, pop your name in the chat. Or if you want a hot seat on anything to do with the Ultimate Healing course, it doesn't matter where you are in the course. Then again, please do pop your name in the chat and Peter will guide you through your process. If you've got any questions at all that has come up for you over the last few weeks, then please do again share and want to know how you're getting on. So please, in the chat right now, let us know whereabouts are you, how are you getting on, what challenges are you coming up against, what's your favorite part, what experiences are coming up for you, are there any particular memories that are coming up, anything that you think is useful, relevant, interesting. We just want to know how you are all getting on by going through this content. And yeah, and Peter is here to answer any of your questions. So, people typing away. Lars, yeah, you put your name in for a hot seat. Are you sure you don't look so?
As you can finish off where you left off, that's fine, and we carry on.
Yeah. That's him. Right. Okay. So, Peter, I'll hand it over to you then to start talking about modules three,
Okay.
four, and five. Now I'll hotspot you.
Right.
Hotlight you,
Hotlight.
not hotspot you. No,
Hotlight. Okay.
spotlight.
All right. So hello everybody again. So let's go on to the next bit. So when we're dealing with discreation, I want to talk about how this goes on to dual creations. Now it's how it's almost the next step in the process. Those who were just on the last call would have seen an example when I was got to a dual creation about needing to be powerful when you're powerless is one example. Basically, when you're doing this process, you sometimes get stuck. People have something that's in their life that never seems to go away, whatever they do. And these almost impossible things usually has a dual creation at the bottom of it. And this is what they haven't understood. You see, when you have a dual creation, because both sides are part of the same creation, each one holds the other one in place. So, a simple example I gave when you feel powerless, and therefore, ever since then, you want to be powerful, or you feel weak, and therefore, you want to be strong. Because the feeling you need to be powerful is based on the feeling that you're powerless in the first place, and that hasn't been discreated, the two exist together. Which means every time you're trying to be strong, the weakness somehow shows up. Somehow you feel weak again, and something goes wrong. It's almost like it works the way emergency lighting works when the power fails. You try and get rid of one thing, and the other side is bringing it back in place again. So you won't just get rid of half of the dual creation. You can't just get rid of powerlessness when you've got this dual creation of powerful and powerlessness. The duality has to be exposed at the bottom of it all to see how it actually first formed. So what will happen then when you start going through these layers in your discreation process? And this is an important thing to understand discreation a bit further, that there are often layers. When you first start welcoming emotions, remember that you start a whole process, you go through one layer after another. You can have different emotions about the same situation. They're different memories linked to the same creation, but often have more layers coming up. Now, what can happen when you get more difficult situations is you get to a place of, I don't know. Problem is, when people don't know, they start making conclusions about the unknown. And this complicates things further. People have all kinds of ready-made answers, like this must be my karma, I must have done something terrible in a past life, and have all these reasons why things have gone wrong, which is not necessarily true. They haven't got to that in the process. They've made conclusions about the unknown. It's actually interesting to go into the layer of not knowing. Remember, I don't know is also a creation that we need to experience. It's okay to create not knowing something. The fact is, every known is bordered by an unknown because there are layers, remember. The idea of any creation you get to a point of unknown. When you work on that, you get to the next layer of known, so that's okay. But you have to be willing to go through not knowing. What will happen, though, in the process, around that unknown are all your conclusions about the unknown you've made up before. So the process becomes more complicated. So what you might go through then in the long difficult process is that you go through these layers of unknowns and unknowns. You get to unknown and then you go to the conclusion about the unknown. The important thing to get to there is remember to just feel, I don't know. Welcome that. When you've gone through that, you get to the next layer anyway. There'll be another layer of memory somewhere where something else comes up that might be not what you thought it would be. There seems to be another layer of memory. So you go through layers this way of knowns and unknowns. Now, the bottom layer you get to in the most difficult situations is a dual creation. And because this has been so stubborn, this is why these conclusions about the unknown come up. If something's always been there and it's been stuck, you don't know what it is, you don't know why it's there. And so you start making this conclusion, maybe I did this, maybe I done terribly in a past life, maybe it's somebody's cursed me. And there's so many ready-made answers out there people keep coming up with. You always have standard ones everybody falls to. And you don't really know that. Usually when you go to the bottom layer, it's a dual creation. This is what's kind of so complicated. You get rid of one half because there's another half there that keeps recreating it. So I've seen the example of strong and weak. I felt weak, therefore I decided I have to be strong. Spent all my life trying to be strong because it's got weakness attached to it. So that keeps showing up. I suddenly get ill and can't train. I can't, you know, something else goes wrong and damage myself. And weakness keeps showing up one way or another. Keeps going on and on and on. Matter how many times I try to dissipate it. And what happens then when I keep getting strong and things go wrong? I make up other things about why it's going wrong. Being cursed, bad karma, all these things people already make answers. Or conclusions about the unknown. Sometimes you have to experience, I don't know. I don't know where this is going. I don't know why I fail. You go into the unknown, feel how that feels. When you get to the bottom and just experience that dual creation, you feel both sides at once. And you get to it, you realize, okay, there's two sides here. I feel strong, I feel weak. You experience it as a duality. There's a conflict there. The thing is, you're not just trying to discredit one half of it. You're discrediting the duality. Now, doesn't mean you're going to stop being strong. But that need to be strong goes because you don't feel weak. That's what I mean. The strength is there anyway when you realize this input power you've got. You don't have to try to be strong anymore. So you get this duality, I'm strong, I'm weak. You experience both sides of a duality as one. You discreate that. When that's gone, all the layers are gone. The problem is finally gone. So this is what's usually at the bottom of those really stubborn, impossible problems. It's not bad karma. It's not being cursed. They come out in the wash anyway and they're easy to deal with. The dual creation is actually the most difficult. When you can get those out, you delete everything. So we'll reiterate again about the process of this creation so you understand how this fits in. In this creation, you start by welcoming the emotion. Whatever it is, it might be in the manifestation process, it might be in healing. Second, these come up in the past creations. As you welcome that, there are layers. You feel emotion, you have different layers of memory going back to your past. You welcome each layer, keep expanding. So you get right to the end. When you see the whole thing laid out in front of you, you see this out works. Because of this creation going on, it keeps happening. When you're not in the emotion anymore, you see the whole thing. You have to discreate, the whole thing fades away. That problem doesn't come back, it's gone. With a dual creation, you simply have to keep going. This is an example of how deep it can go sometimes. You have to go through layers. You know, you got through a long layer, so you get to an unknown. You get to a dual creation on both sides. You discreate that, that's the final layer. Then every problem will go. There's no exception. Everything can be discreated. Every blockage can be removed. So, before we go on to hot seats, I want to talk a little bit about the process of creation as well, how this works with it. That's the other thing I was going to talk about here. So we're better discreation, but also once you've discreated things, you want to create what we want. And it's actually easier, in a way. People learn so much about creation, and reason doesn't work because they've forgotten how to discreate things that are in the way. But actually, because of that, people get actually confused about the creation process and don't realize how easy it is. They often try and struggle to make it work because of this blockage is there. But forcing your way through it rather than actually moving the blockages isn't really going to help. Keeps reinforcing this negative belief that it's difficult. I mean, how many people think creation is difficult? A lot of people do because it hasn't worked for them so far. And all these blockages come in the way. But as often pointed out, it only takes 33 seconds of visualization to create something. Simply because that's how long it takes for the neurons to create a fire before the image reaches its peak. When you reach it unconscious, then it goes in and the message has got there, it can happen. When people have to visualize for hours every day and several times a day or whatever, what kind of belief is there? It's still that belief that it's difficult, which we don't need. This is a secondary. That's why it's important to actually do the disc creation in order to actually understand how to create. Creation itself is very easy. You have desire, imagination, expectation. You desire something, you imagine it. A lot of people don't know how to imagine because they think it's hard work. Because at school, you keep being told, don't daydream, get on with your work. And so they forget how to just daydream. And they think visualization has to be concentrated and so focused, and they can't do it. Well, first thing to get rid of is the idea that it's hard. It's about letting yourself daydream again. When you relax, let go, and just go into your fantasy. And the fantasy is okay as well, by the way. Even when you're not actually focusing on creating something, mind goes to fantasy simply because it wants to stretch the imagination, sharpen it. All tools need to be sharpened. The fantasies often sharpen the imagination. Sometimes you get lost in a little fantasy somewhere, you're imagining things and you get into the emotion. That's all very good. You're exercising the imagination. It's a daydream, basically. What happens when you're actually trying to create something? You're actually taking more control of the daydream. I know something I actually want to manifest. I'm going to focus on dreaming about this now. You see exactly how you want it. As if you're enjoying it right now, like you're right in it, enjoying it emotionally. And that's how you visualize. It's actually quite easy. And you only have to hold it for 33 seconds for it to reach its peak, and it can be released to actually manifest. The difficult part is the expectation. We can all desire and imagine, but if you can't expect, it's not going to work. And this is where people go wrong with expectation. They're trying to do it emotionally. What I'm trying to point out all the time is that expectation doesn't come from the emotions. I've seen so many workshops going on here and there. People go to these workshops, they're firing up emotionally saying, yes, you can do it, and backing one up. They feel really positive. A couple of days later, it's all gone. They still can't create what they want because it's not real. Expectation is not emotional. It's the way of coming back from the future. Every experience is a double quantum wave between here and the future. If something doesn't have a future, you can't experience it. So away from us goes out to the future. It's creating the future. Way of the future is coming up to us, changing us now. It's double after both sides. And this is where people go wrong. They try and create without receiving the wave coming back from the future. It's not enough to create if you can't receive. So the next thing to look at here is why people won't receive. There's a lot of negative conditioning about that as well. People think if you're receiving, you're the weaker one, or you're actually being selfish or something, or somebody's creating better than you. But actually receiving is a high resonance. A lot of people can't receive because the resonance isn't high enough. But it starts by receiving the future you put out there. And how do you do that? After your visualization, you sit back and let the wave come back. What that experience is like is that it's simply the feeling of already having it. When that comes into you and settles in, it becomes expectation. You see, the future that's already got it has no trouble expecting it. From that point, it's all feeling of already having it. From here, it's expectation because it hasn't happened yet. It's simply a product of a double quantum wave. So it's actually quite natural when you look at it. If we can desire and imagine, expectation should follow. If we remember to receive that incoming wave from the future, and if also we get rid of the blockages, which are these secondaries. So when we begin to actually visualize something, secondaries come up, we're going to have to do our disc creation process too. So what happens then when you first visualize? You go into the fantasy, into a daydream, you imagine what it's like to already have it, go into the emotion of it, you can bring all the senses into play, you can touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, you just be in the whole fantasy basically. And then after 30 seconds, it reaches peak and release it, you sit back until it comes up. Either you feel the wave of the future coming back with expectation, or you feel secondaries coming up. Quite often the secondaries come up first. All these past experiences, which are simply trying to reassert themselves. See, whenever you're trying to create something new, it triggers all the creations to reassert themselves. That's what these secondary experiences are. They come up as emotions. Emotions are what it's like in the past when you failed. All the bad things happened that made you feel that you can't do it now. So you want to be positive about your creation. These thoughts come up, I can't do it, I failed before, I never managed things, whatever in the past is coming up, it's simply a past creation. So the important thing there is to discreate it, not fight it, not make it go away. So if you won't feel it, it's not complete. It's still trying to reassert itself. You'll keep trying fighting the surface. You still sabotage your efforts to manifest. Therefore, if you're going to create, must also be good at discreation. That's what's going to make it really work elegantly. So what's going to happen then in this process, of course, you can use discretion in many different ways in healing, but in creation process, you're going to be a part of that process too. You visualize, you go into the imagination, feel the emotion of it and release it. Secondaries come up. You go into the expansion of those feelings, expanding through them until you discreate. Maybe it's a dual creation, it's a really big one. You go through these layers and get them straight out from the bottom. But finally, when you've discreated it, the secondaries are gone. You come back to your visualization again. There's no secondaries. All that comes back is that faith of the future, which builds expectation. So that's the basic process. You know, I've explained that in the course, but once I just reiterate now, before we actually go to hot seats, we can guide people through the process if everything's happening in a difficulty. So let's go into the hot seats now then, just to see if we can get some people through these processes and get you there, basically.
Thank you very much. So, Lindy, if you could please unmute yourself, turn your camera on if you... Oh, no, she's already got a camera on. Lovely. Thank you. Yeah. She's the... Oh, I don't know. She's for you.
Lindy.
Yeah, wave, Lindy, so it's easier for him.
Wait,
there we go.
Oh, lovely. There we go. Oh, there. Good. Okay, hi there. Okay, so what did you work on?
It's going to be hard for me to focus because as I've been working through the materials, I have sort of a head full of concepts of shame and rage and guilt and anger. And so I'm trying to sort of fit them together or put them into a string, but I've reached a point in my life where, except right now, I'm quite anxious. But I've reached a point in my life after lots of work where I don't feel strong emotions. The strongest emotions I feel actually are when people sit on the hot seat here and I go off camera because I find myself in tears.
That's a trigger. That's way in.
So, but I have been, so as part of the course and trying to identify what are the emotions, what are the feelings that I have most likely either buried really deeply or managed to somehow or other release. And what I found is that there is a string that probably goes back to my early childhood of, I don't know if it's not being good enough or, I don't want to put a label on it, but it goes back to being like a 5-year-old when I bought my brother's snake from him for 50 cents and the next day it ran away. And it's kind of like that describes, it's like always somebody else is always the smarter, better, stronger, wiser. And so I think when I look back at strings of events throughout my life, it's always been deferring to somebody else being the, and so, but I've worked very hard at, getting those emotions to go away so that I can, function happily or mostly happily on a day-to-day basis. But I don't feel strong emotions. So when I sit, I try and think about the event and go back and feel what I might have felt. And I know there have been events where I had some pretty strong emotions or feelings. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've, either I've let them go because I'm trying to not give the past a lot of energy in my life, or I've just buried them so very deeply inside me that I can't feel them anymore.
Okay. Now, the first thing is that you're thinking about it too much.
Yes.
And because of the intellectual process, when you start feeling, it's like it doesn't have to come in any particular order. You feel what you're feeling now. Don't try and get anything. You feel that, and the next one will come in its own way. You find out that's when you get to it, because there'll be layers. But also, even the kind of things like numbness, apathy, these are emotions too. And you have to get those, you have to go to scale. You won't get to the really juicy ones until you've gone through those. So it's not a problem when you feel numbed out or apathetic. You can't get the juicy emotions. You're going through exactly what you need to go through at that moment. So first thing is, what are you feeling right now?
I'm horribly anxious at being on screen and talking about my emotions. I'm shaking.
You just welcome that anxiety. Let yourself be anxious. That's okay. And as you're welcoming that, you may have other memories where you've been anxious, other things which put you on the spot. Just really go into that whole anxiety feeling. Allow it to be there, you know, just allowing it, welcoming it. Does it bring anything else up? Any memories or anything? Does it start to increase? What happens?
My heart's quite taut.
That's fine. Welcome that too.
I'm flooded with memories. I'm flooded with memories of events.
It's okay, let them all come up. Just keep the feeling there, but just let memories come with it. If there's lots of things we're anxious, it's just let it all come, let it all flow. Just keep welcoming. Do you reach this point where it's okay to be anxious and just let it be and just let it flow?
Okay.
How does it feel now?
I'm more relaxed.
What comes up next? Is that all gone? What's your feeling now?
I feel small.
Okay, good. Go into that. Again, just welcome it. You see where it leads. Obviously, it can be maybe easier when you were small. What's making you feel small?
Never speaking up, not using my voice to, to say what I think is important, to stand up for myself, to argue when I should be arguing.
Interesting. Welcome. How does that feel?
It makes me feel sad. It makes me feel like a child who's stuck in being unimportant and unseen.
Yeah. You just said all that feeling. Do you remember being a child being unseen and unimportant?
Yes. I was one of two, and I always felt I was the... Yeah, I was... not seen.
Good. Allow that feeling. Just feel it. Let's just be right back there being small again. Unseen. How does it feel?
Like I just want to let her cry.
Yeah. Okay. Allow it. Just let yourself feel it. Let's welcome that. Now, in dealing with inner child, you actually can go back as you are now to actually hold that inner child. Hold her to let her cry, you know, be there to support her. It'll help. Mm. How do you feel?
I feel like I want to give her a great big hug. Yeah. And just sit there and hold her.
Yeah, just do it. And just keep the feeling coming, you know.
The other feeling that comes up is I feel that I've lived my life as a fake. Mm-hmm. Like I've learned tools and strategies and ways to sort of be on this earth and be the person I think I should be. And that some of it just feels like I've had to be a fake in order to get through my life.
How does that feel?
It feels pretty awful.
Okay.
It feels pretty awful.
But it's okay, that it also let you go through the memories of why you had to be a fake, which is pretty coming from. Just go into the healing first and see what comes.
So it takes me back to feeling like I'm not smart enough. I can't figure it out. I need to change to adapt, but at some level I like who I am, but I feel like it's not good enough for, it wasn't good enough for work. It wasn't good enough for marriage. It wasn't good enough for finishing things that I started.
Go into the whole thing of not being good enough. Feel it all. Let all the emotion come up. Are there specific memories coming up where you're that made you feel not good enough?
Whoa.
That's right. Just let it be coming. Just let it be.
So I'm not anxious about being on camera anymore.
Great. That's one. So going to this whole thing about not being good enough, just welcome that feeling.
So it's lessening.
Were there any particular memories or situations that made you feel not good enough? Anything come to mind?
Being at work, and I mean, this was decades ago. Mm-hmm. Feeling like I couldn't grasp concepts that I needed to sort of express what I thought would help. I'm getting lost in my
okay.
head.
That's okay. That's a part of it. Because that's what you felt at the time. Lost, wasn't it? Just
experience yes.
it. Just feel lost. It's okay. How does it feel to be lost?
It makes me angry because I feel like I should be able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm angry at myself and I'm angry at others for making me feel that way. Mm-hmm.
Great, welcome that too.
And what really comes out is my marriage, where I, you know, I came to realize I probably shouldn't have been in the marriage. I should have listened to all of my everything I felt and knew in my heart before I ever got married. And then afterwards, I'd never had a voice to say what to express. It, like, it was never a partnership. I always felt like I was bullied and like I just did the best I could, but it was never good enough.
Never good enough again. Okay, just let yourself feel that. What's your overall feeling about thinking about the marriage?
My strongest feeling was that I wasn't a very good mother. I have this concept of what a lioness mother is, and I just was never able to be that kind of mother. I could be loving and kind and creative, but I could never be the lioness in terms of helping to protect them or guard them from the, you know, anger and expectations and everything that he put on them. So in that sense, I feel like I really let them down, because I couldn't be that mother in our family.
Okay.
And that's just a...
Sit without a feeling, it's okay.
Just makes me feel so sad and
let it come up. Let's go to this feeling. What are you feeling now?
I'm still feeling the sadness and disappointment in myself.
It's okay. Expand into it. Keep working it.
It's lightning.
And what's next? What do you feel now?
And now I feel like I should hand over the hot seat to somebody else.
No, you're not done yet. What are you feeling?
So I start lots of things, and I, as you've been through, I think as you went through in the manifestation course, I start it and I'm excited, and I'm just like, I feel the excitement mm-hmm. in it. And then something always comes in the middle, and it's like, why can't I
go into, yeah, go into that feeling. It's still part of not good enough thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Go into
and
that.
I'm not capable of doing this.
Here we go. Welcome that feeling. So even this feeling is only come from certain things you didn't do really well. And it's got to start feeling reflection to everything that you're not good enough. No, there's only certain things you didn't do as well as others. And this is the kind of memory of those you need to go into now. Which are things you didn't do very well. and we all have different skills. We'd have to do everything well. But it's got to this point where you felt not good enough.
It's like, I feel like I'm capable of it, but for some reason I tell myself I can't.
That's it. Go into that feeling. And don't try and make it go away. You've got to go through it. So go into the feeling that you can't do it. You're not good enough. Somehow incapable. You go into the feeling of it.
No, I'm anxious. I'm back to being highly anxious.
It's there because you're getting close to something. Once you really go into that anxious feeling. What was the important thing that you seem to pay that really kind of hits you hard?
It's a fear of failing. A fear of letting myself down, and yet I let myself down anyway.
Yeah. Well, what happens if you let yourself down, if you fail? What's the big one? What was the consequence?
I'm not the person I believe I am. I'm not.
What's the feeling?
I let other people down.
And how does that feel?
Disappointing.
Now, let's go further back, Canel. Somebody was expecting too much of you. There's somebody else's expectation that you didn't live up to. Who did you let down?
I feel like I've let down a bunch of people.
Keep going through it. What's the big one? Where did it start? Who gave you burden in the first place of this, the expectation you carried? What was expected of you? What did your parents expect of you?
I'm not sure they had expectations of me. I think their expectations were of my brother. I think I wanted to be seen, but I spent much of my teen years asking myself if I was adopted, because I didn't feel like I belonged in my family. Like, I didn't feel like I was I didn't feel like I belonged. I felt like I was an outsider.
So what did you see your brother?
And, he was just smart and successful, and they encouraged him, and he's a lovely person, but he was just smart and intuitive. And, my mom engaged with him on a learning level that I couldn't.
How did you feel?
Couldn't engage in.
Mm.
I think I just felt isolated.
Yeah.
And I just felt alone. And I tried to do things that I thought would make me be seen, but
yeah, that's it. You're trying to win their approval.
Yeah.
A few things. See, there's the contract. You try to win approval, but also the shame is there because they put a standard on you without actually saying it. It's quite subtle. By giving your brother all the kind of praise and love because he's smart, and you're not getting it. It's already telling you you're not smart enough, therefore you're not good enough to be loved. This is their standard, their shame, and they put it onto you. See how subtle that is.
Yeah.
This is their shame. What's the feel where you store it in your body?
In my heart.
Yeah. So take a sack. You're going to squeeze the shape out of the heart into the sack. Pushing from inside is like pushing a hard ball deck through a sieve. All this feeling of not being good enough, all this shame. Just actually these high standards that you couldn't live up to. That's all shame. Squeeze you all out of the sack. Once it's out, you're going to hand the sack of shame back to your parents, both of them. Just tell them this is their shame. It's their standards that you're not going to fit everyone. You're not going to live up to it anymore. It's not your job to. They can deal with themselves. See, that shame is that you can only be loved in it if you're a certain way that you're not. That's shame. That's what it is. It's their shame they're dumped on you. Give it back. What you do next is go back to your now to hold the child that you were. Just to love her as she is. All the love, just as she is. She doesn't have to be smart to get it. She's got lots of other qualities, I'm sure. Different from your brothers, but it's unique. You can love her as she is. Do things with her and be nice to her and give her approval and give her attention.
That feels better.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Okay. Take longer with that one, though. I mean, I'll leave you to that one now. But yes, take time with your child.
Thank you.
Give all the love she
needs. Thank you.
That's where it starts. Okay. That was the
reason. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
See,
you got one time for another one. Yep. Yeah. Who's next?
Thank you, Lindy. Now we have. We're going to go over to Jenny.
Like most Jenny.
He's waving at you.
I've got to find the right picture before I can see her waving.
Unmute yourself, please, Jenny.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Hi there. That's there. We are.
Unmuted.
Hi.
Hi.
So, what would you like to work on?
This is a bit unexpected, actually, because I thought I was going to be too late, so I haven't been thinking it through. But I have got a big issue going on.
Okay, catch you in a moment, then. So I'd be more spontaneous.
Yeah, exactly. As Peter knows, I had a stroke on winter solstice in 21, which took out my whole right side. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, not my face or my language or my speech or anything, but. And I got the arm and the hand back, but I'm still having struggle with my right leg and foot in particular. Mm. I've done a whole lot of processes in this journey, so which have been helpful. and I've got a little bit more, I gradually get a little bit more movement, I get a little bit more balance, but it's kind of, I feel frustrated and a bit stagnant with it, and I feel I've got to the end of the line of the obvious causes.
Welcome that frustration and feel at the end of the line. I'm going to actually add some crystals to these points to actually get the energy moving to help it come out. Yeah, go into that frustration. How are you feeling?
And what's coming up is I feel angry about why me.
Yep.
What did I do? What's wrong? I did everything right. You know, that sort of.
Yeah, go into that one. Of,
yeah.
Why things still go wrong.
Exactly.
Let yourself feel that. How often you felt that in your life? How does it feel?
sad, emotional.
Yeah, just, yeah. Welcome that. So what were you feeling around the time the stroke happened or just before?
Well, because it was on the solstice, I've been expecting transformation. Mm-hmm. You know, that we were going to ascend into a higher energy. So yeah. I did get a transformation, but not the one that I was planning.
So what kind of change were you wanting? What did you want to end?
I wanted to be more into my writing, my self-expression, my creativity. Mm-hmm. I'd always been busy and running around and helping other people. So I was asking for a situation where that might come about, and I guess I got my answer.
Okay, how does it feel?
I want it to end. I don't want to be
good. Now go into that feeling. You want it to end. Would you feel that? Welcome there. Have you felt that one before?
Oh, all the way through. It was like, okay, I get it, but I want to be able to walk and run and swim and dance and do things.
But don't you have this similar feeling in other situations, so you wanted something to end?
Oh, the other situation?
Any other situation before you wanted something to end?
Yeah, no, I actually had a lot of stress that year. I had parents in lockdown, one in a home, mm-hmm. another one I put into a home, and then it was, I think, polished off within a month.
Mm-hmm.
Not that was an uncle, not a parent.
Mm.
We had an online business. There was financial stress. There was nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of situations that felt out of beyond me.
Good. That's a beyond you thing. That's the overwhelm. That's what it is. Once you feel that, can you feel it?
Yeah,
definitely. So feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Okay. There's a feeling that I can't do this anymore, you know, that.
You really feel that. But it'll come up.
I think what came to mind recently about that feeling of being helpless, related back to feeling responsible for my younger sister,
mm-hmm.
all the way through childhood and so on. My dad was away a lot, and she and my mum never bonded,
mm-hmm.
so I was kind of surrogate mum. And then I went to university and she was in a hostel and she got raped.
Mm.
And she called me.
Mm.
And I just didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, overwhelmed again.
Overwhelmed.
There's a burden you didn't need to carry. It's what you're still doing now with your parents and your uncle, putting them in homes. It's like you're carrying everything. Do you ever really have a chance to be a child?
No, I was always, well, I was doing well at school. That was the other thing I thought was expected of me. So
yeah. You had to grow up fast. Miss a part of yourself, childhood, adolescence.
Mm.
So what's gone, the fire is gone. See, that the adolescent didn't chance to get back in because there's no room for it. You didn't get to the rebellious stage. You need to bring that in now. I'm going to do a soul retrieval.
Okay. Actually, I was drawn to so many, you know, revolutionary ideas and people and that sort of thing. So
we get them out because you said too much burden to carry. What do you feel now?
Um, I feel a little clearer, but I feel I've still, you know, I still don't know how to shift.
Yeah, good. Going to the not knowing. It's all part of the overwhelm. The feeling you can't do it. So we go into how that feels.
The kind of mixture of grief and anger.
Good, let it all come up. Really feel it. Anything else with it?
That more or less feels like that's what it is.
That's okay. Welcome that. The grief and anger is about overwhelm, isn't it? All this burden that you shouldn't have carried.
It's not that I blame anybody else. No,
but you feel
from myself.
It's an overload of having to carry all that, isn't it?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah, can't do it anymore.
Good, where do you feel that?
I'm actually not doing it.
No, that's fine. That's it, feel.
Relief.
Now, once you go back to your adolescent, imagine you go back as you are now to meet the adolescent to your puberty. Don't you be able to take the burdens away, to give the space to just go out and do what teenagers do? To be wild and whatever and not give a damn about anything else. Just give the space for you taking all these burdens off her. How does it feel?
I'm beginning to get a bit more breath in me.
Good. Let that in for a while. How's your leg feeling?
She's not quite sure that she believes me.
That's what it doesn't matter. She needs to believe you, as long as she just does her own thing and doesn't give a shit what you say anyway. That's what teenagers need to be. Make these burdens away so you can just go and be yourself. So, you know, just move those people who are burdened to have somebody else deal with them.
Yeah.
To leave them in that space. How are you feeling?
Lighter, definitely lighter.
How's your leg, Mel?
Well, I am lifting it.
It's a start. That's a process.
There's movement inside.
Good.
It's so nice, but
so you see you're on the right thing, but that's the thing to work with. Make sure you actually release any overwhelm that's left, all these burdens, and let your adolescent go wild, basically. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do you want to go over to some questions now?
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
So, first question then. So, does that mean that we can't create Jenny, thank you. Please excuse my manners. Thank you so much for that, Jenny. Really wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And also thank you to Lindy as well. So going back to the question, so does that mean that we can't create expectation? We have to work with the fantasy and the desire and the expectation will come.
It's not so much a fantasy. See, the fantasy is a bit you dream about, which you don't necessarily want to create. Remember, fantasy is just because of imagination stretches. Well, you actually find creating a goal, creating a future, that's where expectation comes from. You don't create it as such, you absorb it. See, the expectation is really the feeling of that future coming back to you. The future that's already got it, there's no trouble expecting it. Whenever you create something, there is a future you're creating. The difficult part is actually getting that future actually ground into you so it manifests. It exists somewhere. So when you receive from that future, the expectation is it comes into you. It's absorbed from the future. So it's not from the fantasy, it's from the actual goal, from the future you're actually deciding to create. So when you desire something, imagine it, and put that out there and receive, the wave of that is what creates the expectation.
And is expectation like knowing it's coming?
Kind of. Let's look at what expectation actually means. Ex and spect. Look at the word. Ex is beyond. Like an exit is beyond it. Spect, like perspective or introspection, is about looking, seeing. To expect is to look beyond. In other words, it's like you've got an idea of where it could go, and you have to actually look beyond what's rational, what you can really see. It's like you project to a degree. Okay, this is where it's going. I look beyond and this is what it's going to be. That's what expect means. It's a kind of, not say knowing, but a feeling. It's like you're not certain, but it's like there's a feeling, yes, this is where it's going. That's to expect.
Can you imagine something that doesn't already exist in the future?
Of course you can. Your imagination is creating everything. Nothing exists here that wasn't first imagined.
Do you have any advice for welcoming the very difficult, corrosive emotions like pain and hate? They can be so scary, and I worry about desensitizing myself to things I should be scared of, if that makes sense.
You welcome the fear first. Remember, there's layers of emotion. There's layers of emotion. Remember, fear is one of them. So if you can't get to, say, the hate and the pain because there's fear, you feel the fear first. You're not afraid of the anger or pain anymore, then you feel that. You're going to go through the emotions layer by layer. The important thing is to go through whatever you're feeling now. Don't think you have to get to something else. What you're feeling now is what you feel. If you feel afraid to feel pain, then feel the fear. When you welcome that fear and it passes, you get to the next emotion. And by the time you get to that, you'll be feeling it. You know, so it's like it's not a problem anymore. They come up layer by layer, that's the thing.
What about the phrase that the universe or God helps determine what is meant for us and not? And is that really so, or can I create no matter what I want? If it doesn't come true, it is simply my responsibility. Is there a higher power that determines us, or is everything in my hand? I want to believe that I can do everything, but something blocks me.
Okay, there's a bit of a paradox to embrace to understand this, that we are God as well, but this small part of ourselves is not God. It's we are also a part of it. You see, in the beginning, there's simply pure awareness. It's adimensional, undefinable. This awareness has a thought. It creates a universe out of thought. It then wants to experience its creation, so it enters into it. By entering into time and space, it experiences all time and space, and therefore has to enter the pieces. So each piece of it is now experiencing this little time and space. Therefore, this piece of me that's here now is the piece of creator that's experiencing this particular time and space. So in the way, yes, I am creator, but this piece of me here isn't all of it. Therefore, I am part of a divine plan because of the consciousness that created it all, then came into it to be me. That's a divine plan, and that's part of me as well because I'm part of it. So when I go into my real desires, my true will, and feel what I'm really here for and what I really want deep down, that is aligned to the creator. This is why we do the personal self-reflection. I put it somewhere in the course as well, but we go through your layers of looking at your intention, attention, action, and image is to actually find out your real desire, going through the layers to feel what you really want. That is aligned to God. So it's about finding your true will. When you work with that, you are actually working as one with God. Therefore, it's more powerful. So you are God, but you're actually going to the deep part of yourself to find who you really are, which is God. And that's in line to your true will, your luminous intent, the bottom line under all those layers. So if you're doing that self-reflection to clarify what you really want, that's how you find real power and purpose. You have a purpose, you know, you may have forgotten it because it's convoluted. When you do the self-reflection process, you go into that and you get down to really what you're here for, what you really want underneath, your real drive. That is divine. That does take you a long way, and you can create anything from there. Some desires you don't create because you have conflict about them. It's not what you really want. It might find layers of what you really want underneath. When you really know what you want, then yes, you can create it.
In the discreation process, when you label the creation, could you clarify how best to label it? For example, give it a movie title or a book title so that we can help to disassociate with it.
It's about seeing it as it is without having any emotion about it. If I'm saying this is a pile of shit, I'm still emotional about it. I'm still judging it. When you can label without judgment that you got it, it's like it's seeing as it is. Like I might be looking at a relationship, being in, for instance, I might look at the end and say, oh, it's a codependent relationship. That's a label. That defines what it is. I'm not being emotional about it anymore. It just is. That's what I have. That's what I've created. That's an example. It's when you have the title of it. This is what describes it. It's no longer emotional, no longer judgmental. It is just a label. It is what it is.
Can you say something about dialoguing? For example, in our buddy calls, how can we best support each other through the discreation process?
Like I'm doing now. It's simply got to be there, non-judgmental, and just, you know, keep going into how you feel, welcome that. And so remind them that whatever they feel, they're supposed to feel. There's no judgment. There's no need to get to something else. It's just keeping on track. So just as I'm doing is what you're going to learn to do. Hold a space with no judgment, no need to change anything, but welcome exactly what's there now and keep welcoming, expanding. So you're there to kind of remind them, to help them, guide them, to keep them on focus in that process, simple as that. But also your role there is to hold a space of enthusiasm, unconditional love, non-judgment, and appreciation. By appreciation, I mean it's like I know that you're God. Like I'm not going to listen to any limitations, so I can just listen to you. And I don't have sympathy as such. I have compassion, but not sympathy as difference, because I know you're God. I recognise, well, what an amazing creation you've got here, very complex, and to be going to discreate it. So that's the kind of feeling you have towards your person, is that's what I mean by appreciation. Appreciating the God in you that can create all this and can discreate it.
Can you clarify the difference between running a story and indulging in it and fully experiencing the beliefs and associated emotions? Is it beneficial to sometimes just to tell my mind to stop with the self-judgment, the monkey mind, or do I need to just focus on the attached emotions and discreate them? It seems to be two conflicting ways of dealing with things.
It seems at first, but the thing, if you welcome everything, it's okay to have those thoughts too. You don't believe them. It's like you can observe these judgments without actually resisting, without believing them, but it's just feel as this is going on, so I'll observe it. Because there are feelings behind it. Behind those judgments is always emotion. It's something you don't like and something you're resisting. And as you know, it is emotional experience, so judgment is emotional. So rather than actually fight it and judge it, or you know, things you don't judge in judgment. So if there's judgments going on, you keep welcoming. But what you're trying to do is welcome the feeling. That way you'll actually get to the root of them all. It doesn't stay in the mental plane saying this is what it is. It's actually explains how I feel about it. Like, for instance, I might be angry with somebody and they're saying, you're a horrible person, and instead of just feeling, I don't like you. So there's a difference there. I'm not projecting into what you are, I'm saying how I feel. So as you go to the judgment, you know, as you welcome feelings, it'll change. You simply experience the emotion. And that's what you're going to do. Keep welcoming the emotion and you'll go through layers. You don't resist any layer. You don't say, I mustn't feel this. Whatever you feel, you feel. When you don't resist or judge your own emotion, you'll go through the layers and get deeper and deeper into what it really is all about.
I've heard it said that I've heard it said that every possible version of ourselves already exists on the causal plane. So we select the ones that we want to magnify. Are we turning into one when we imagine something, or does our imagination create things in the future?
It does. Remember, it's double quantum wave. We create the future. Future is creating us. What's happening, all these different possible futures are out there now. And each one is having an impact upon us. When we feel this one is going to happen. Even the other futures that might not even happen are still affecting us now, all having some impact to affecting how we feel and our emotions and so on. So there's loads of possible futures out there all affecting us. They won't all manifest. They exist so long, if they don't get fed, they die away. But they're there. All the possible futures are affecting you right now. That's why we can cultivate. We want to get rid of the negative futures, which make us do the wrong things and make us feel bad, and create all the positive futures, which are creating us to not only creating a positive future, but making us feel better now, making us a more complete and a positive person now.
I have done the process of self-reflection so many times and can't get to my real will in life, no matter how I turn it. Is there something missing? Do you have any help for this?
I'd say it's probably because you've actually been too intellectual with it, not enough feeling. You're supposed to must feel your way through, not think about. Quite often we want to think, oh, what's next, and make conclusions. As I was saying earlier, we don't want to actually get to the conclusion about the unknown. We seem to want to state, okay, I don't know, I can feel that, and then feel my way through it. So what's just is put your hand on your heart to help you feel. And you can feel, what do I want? Like when you feel something, it's like you go and feeling, why do I want this? You have to go to the feeling and let it come through feelings. Don't come up with an answer too quickly. It doesn't come from the head, it comes from the heart. So take your time over it and just feel your way. Don't rush it.
We're at nearly 15 minutes past. So do you want one Miriam hot seat or?
The hot seat is getting quite long now, so you don't need to do so many. It's giving you an idea though. And this is good. Rather than do lots of little hot seats, a long one is quite good because it's a more example of a fuller process. Another chance to do another time.
That's it. That's all the questions we've got at the moment.
Mm. Okay.
So I normally say that, and then another question comes in.
It's all right. Just remember, we've got the Q&A tomorrow as well about the kind of in-person course, because that will help you understand what it's going to be like to actually come to these in-person courses and what difference that makes, and to help you get there if you need to, because, you know, many ways we can help you. That's why we did this manifestation course as well. You can manifest it easily once you know how. But let's look at what it's going to do for you and what you need to know about it, and, you know, bring your questions there.
Yeah, so maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Peter. What's going to happen in tomorrow's Q&A?
Well, this one's all about the in-person courses, particularly the one we're doing in May. And it can be any question on any level, whether it's practical ones about flights and restrictions and all the other things that can happen, all the things might go wrong, what you can do about it. Or it can be simply knowing about what happens on these courses, what's the benefit of actually being in person, be with me there physically, and have people holding points and all those things. And what experience is like. So it's going to be all about being on a course, basically, and in person, so you know the differences. Although it's quite wonderful to do online courses as well, and there's so much happens, I want to talk about the differences between in person, what extra things I can bring, what things we can do there that we're not doing online.
That's it. No more questions.
Okay, great. That's all good timing then.
Yeah, so I am going to remove your spotlight, and I am going to turn my camera on. And I'm going to once again say thank you to Caroline, that was the other one. Sorry, so thank you to Jenny and to Lindy. Thank you so much for your hot seats. Thank you everyone for being here, and thank you for your questions. Please do keep up the work with your buddies. We are in the MeWe group, and I really hope we see you tomorrow on the open Q&A for the in-person stuff. And if we do not, then we look forward to seeing you at the beginning of April for the next Q&A sessions. And then confirming the date for our next Ultimate Healing. I think that's in 3 weeks' time. So that would be, if anyone's got the date to hand. No, it's definitely not then.
It's going to be, because I'm a member on the way to about the 5th. So it'll be from the first weekend from the
I've got a feeling it's on Sunday the 9th, but I'll
will be.
Yeah, confirm that. Don't have it to hand.
Probably around that time, yeah.
About that. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Recording will be up as soon as possible. Any other questions, let us have them in MeWe. I wish you all a wonderful weekend. And if we don't speak to you tomorrow,
okay.
Take care, everyone.
See you all soon.
Enjoy. Bye.
Bye.
Saturday the 8th.